This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Well, top of the morning to ya. Ho-ho. And welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a Talora Laura podcast looking at all things releasing this Paddy's weekend on streaming and in cinemas, with a shillelagh here and a 33 and a third there. Yes, as you can tell, the 48-hour bug is gone. Oh, scary times. The man flu has left the building. Feck you, man flu. You're no match for me. And the lurgy, gone. All gone. I'm feeling quite alive. If I'm going to be honest, a bit croaky. And while there ain't a huge amount of content landing this week, what content there is, I think you shall be very entertained over the festive weekend ahead. So, my dear, my darling dear, shall we begin?
What brings you to Ireland?
A wedding.
Well, congratulations.
Oh no, it's not mine. It's my friend's.
I can't believe Paul and Emma are getting married.
You balance me out, Madeline.
We do make a great team.
We do.
Hi, Mom. I can't help but think that things would be different if I had told Paul how I felt.
You're gonna have to start speaking up for yourself.
It's too late now. I wish I was marrying Paul Kennedy.
What the? Oh! Paul?
Lindsay Lohan arrives in one of the most anticipated rom-coms of the year. Well, in my head, and this house, anyways. Yes, Irish Wish lands on Netflix just in time for Paddy's weekend, and all is right in the world again. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Filmed in Wicklow and directed by Janine Damian, a stalwart of the Hallmark Channel, I'd like you to know, and also who gave us Lohan's previous Netflix movie, Falling for Christmas. Wasn't very good, but I don't care, because this one feels like it's got all the potential to be a breakout hit, and not just here on the Emerald Isle. Oh yes. When the love of her life gets engaged to her friend, Maddie puts her feelings aside to be a bridesmaid at their wedding in Ireland. Days before the wedding, Maddie makes a spontaneous wish for true love, only to wake up, yes, as the bride-to-be, and from there on, all hell and Oxford's moments are unleashed. Oh my God. I'm so ready for this. My God, how could you not be? Lindsay Lohan, twee Irish fantasy rom-com. All aboard, get in, bring it. That's Irish Wish, which is now on Netflix.
This has been the most extraordinary experience of my entire life.
Are you ready for it?
I'll be your host this evening. My name is Taylor, and welcome to the Eras Tour.
Seriously? Are you ready for it? Are you? Because the time has arrived. The tween babysitter for the ages has landed on Disney Plus as they unleash Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour, Taylor's version. Oh yeah, a concert film that will occupy your life for 3.5 hours, or should I say the younger folks' lives for 3.5 hours, while you just chill in the corner and watch whatever you want while having a glass of wine. This version comes with 5 bonus acoustic songs that were not featured in the cinema release, and not only is this the first tour in history to gross over 1 billion in a single year, but it's the perfect streaming gift for anyone who didn't get tickets for the concerts later in the year, or hell, even if you did, you can watch along and get yourself all pumped and in the zone and figure out when that toilet break is going to happen. It'll be like having a Swiftageddon party in your living room. Very exciting stuff. Again, something for the weekend chaos. So that's Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, Taylor's version, which is now all up. Oh yeah! In the middle of the night, in my knee, on Disney Plus. Amazing. What a time to be alive, people. What a time. Now would be a good time to flag two cinema releases that, well, they were cinema releases and they're now on streaming. So Priscilla, Sofia Coppola and the gang, that's now on the Mubi streaming service. Just snuck on there last weekend, so happy days. And also American Fiction, oh my god, one of my favourite movies of the year, is now on Prime Video. Cord Jefferson, what a dude, what an absolute dude, what an amazing movie. Jeffrey Wright, Prime Video, get on there, don't need to tell you anymore, I bored you about them before. But Priscilla, American Fiction, one on Mubi, one on Prime Video. Obviously, American Fiction is the one I would be pushing you towards. Bit harder than the other one.
I was born with a chance to be somebody. I'm gonna be the most famous man in the whole world.
Mr. President, the Confederacy is dead. The Union is saved. The war is over.
Manhunt on Apple TV Plus is based on James L. Swanson's 2007 bestseller Manhunt, The 12-Day Chase for Lincoln's Killer. Part historical fiction, part conspiracy thriller, Tobias Menzies stars as Secretary of War Edwin Staunton, who delves into the aftermath of the first American presidential assassination and the fight to preserve and protect the ideals that were the foundation of Lincoln's reconstruction plans. Anthony Boyle stars as John Wilkes Booth. The series adaptation comes from writer and creator Monica Beletsky, who is best known for her work on Fargo and Friday Night Lights. So she had me at hello, obviously. That's Manhunt with its first two episodes, which are now streaming on Apple TV+.
We're not the best superhero team on the planet. We're a family. And like any family, we're all messed up in our own unique way.
We go around saving lives while ruining them at the same time.
We will rebuild more. Count on that.
Your people must need your strength.
I'm sure they got it covered.
Behold! Omnipotence! Tremble before my unlimited power!
No.
The animated superhero series Invincible is back for the second half of its second season on Prime Video. Based on the graphic novels of Robert Kirkman, the man who gave us The Walking Dead, Invincible tells the story of 17-year-old Mark Grayson, who is just like every guy his age, except that his father is Omni-Man, the most powerful superhero on the planet. And as Mark develops powers of his own, he discovers, yes, his father's legacy may not be as heroic as it seems. Oh dear. Featuring Steven Yeun as the voice of Mark, along with J.K. Simmons as his da Omni-Man, this critically acclaimed animated series comes from the same irreverent superhero stable as The Boys and completely flips the genre on its head. Very violently. So violently, it's ridiculous. Thought-provoking storylines, lead characters who operate in the very, very grey. I absolutely adore this series. I'm very excited for this finale to season 2. Fantastic, beautiful, chaotic carnage. That is Invincible season 2 part 2, which is now on Prime Video.
Can't kill a vibe. Woo!
We are Girls 5 Eva.
Why Girls 5 Eva?
Because we're gonna be famous 5 Eva, young 5 Eva.
I remember you. You had that song on the soundtrack of Blue Crush.
TB,
tiny butts forever.
That is us. We go
together like. Oh God, Girls 5 Eva booked a gig.
The Tonight Show. I just did mandatory sensitivity training, so let's do a side hug where none of our parts touch.
Nay.
Girls 5 Eva season 3 is now on Netflix. What is he talking about? Yes, this tells the story of a 90s girl group with just one hit record who get a second chance at success when a young rapper decides to sample their song. Girls 5 Eva has had 2 seasons on Peacock, but then it was unceremoniously dumped, just like the band in the 90s. Well, Netflix take it away sometimes, and then, do you know what? Other times they give it back, because here we are with a limited 6-episode 3rd season, which was greenlit by Netflix to help the band and the show get the closure they needed. In this fictional tale, we find the group hoping to mount a comeback tour in support of their just completed album. And you know what? This is a fun, nonsensical, I mean totally nonsensical, but quirky, enjoyable distraction. If you never caught it when it was on Peacock, well, fear not, because all three seasons are now sitting pretty and are waiting for you on Netflix. So that's Girls Five Ever, or Five Ever, seasons 1 to 3, which are now on Netflix, with season 3 dropping this week. For anyone out there enjoying Masters of the Air and all prepped for its big finale this week, The Bloody 100 on Apple TV Plus is a new documentary which celebrates the real-life heroes featured in its hit series. Narrated by Tom Hanks, it features rarely seen archival footage and exclusive interviews with the 100 Bomb Group Airmen. So that's The Bloody 100 documentary, which is now on Apple TV Plus. And if one war doc ain't enough for you, well, Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War on Netflix is a docuseries that has 9 parts that delve into how actions of two powerful countries, Russia and the US, have shaped the course of history. The series chronicles the creation of the atomic bomb and the spread of nuclear arms over the following decades. It continues past the dissolution of the Soviet Union to Vladimir Putin's ascent and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. With first-hand accounts and access to prominent figures around the world, that's Turning Point, The Bomb and the Cold War on Netflix. In the non-English section this week, well, we probably have one of the most talked about releases of the week. Holy crap. Chicken Nugget on Netflix from Korea is a new K-drama that follows a father whose daughter accidentally gets turned into a chicken nugget. Yes, yes. That's what I said, people. A chicken nugget. The series follows him and his intern as they work tirelessly to find a way to turn his kid back. Oh, Korea. Korea, Korea, never stop being Korea. Amazing stuff. That's Chicken Nugget, which is now on Netflix. Young Royals, the Swedish teen drama romance, returns for its third and final season to Netflix. Set at the fictional elite boarding school, Hellerska, this one primarily follows Prince Wilhelm and his romance with fellow student Simon Eriksson. There are some pretty hardcore fans of the show out there, and They've been drooling in anticipation for this one, and yes, you know who you are. So the first 5 episodes of Young Royals Season 3 are now available on Netflix, with the series finale itself airing on March 18th. Coming from Mexico with a lot of festival hype, Frida on Prime Video is a new documentary which journeys into the life of iconic artist Frida Kahlo, told through her own words from diaries, letters, essays and interviews. Vividly brought to life with lyrical animation inspired by her unforgettable artwork, the film is the directorial debut of acclaimed editor Carla Gutierrez, who did RBG, and is a must-see for any Frida or art lovers out there. So that's Frida, which is now on Prime Video. And finally, in the non-English section, we have Iron Rain, coming from Spain on Netflix, which tells the tale of Joaquin Mancado, who rules his drug empire from Barcelona seaport with an iron fist, until a new shipment sends business and family spiraling. Oh dear. The Spanish always seems to deliver when it comes to crime thriller series, so if that's your jam, why not give Iron Rain, which is now on Netflix, a wee nose.
I'm in a period of emotional upheaval. I mean, just ask the school therapist.
Your mother and I are... we're getting a divorce.
Can I have a phone?
I owe $100,000 on the house.
If I had that money, I'd buy this house and kick everyone out.
Have you ever heard of racing pigeons?
There's this dude. One of his birds is valued at $120,000.
Wait, where does this pigeon dude live?
Here, in Portland.
Boom.
In the new family movie Little Wing on Paramount Plus, Caitlin is a teen who is reeling from her parents' divorce and the pending loss of her home. So, yes, she and her best friend decide to solve her mother's financial woes by stealing a valuable racing pigeon from a grumpy old man in the neighbourhood. Alas, as you would expect from this feel-good family movie, she instead forms a bond with the pigeon's owner, who helps to cultivate her love for the sport. Don't do it, young girl. Don't do it. There's so much shit to clean. Trust me, you don't want to go there. Brian Cox plays the big old grump merchant, along with Kelly Riley as the mother, and the fab Brooklyn Prince from Cocaine Bear and the Florida Project as Caitlin. Defo one whacker would have loved, or probably went, no, that's not real. And no, people, pigeons are not rats with wings. You can stop that dirty talk right now. That's Little Wing, which is now on Paramount Plus. And finally on streaming this week, one for the smallies who are fans of all things pink and not to be confused with the recent smash hit movie, Barbie and Stacey to the Rescue on Netflix is a new hour-long special and will follow Barbie's middle sister, Stacey, as she quickly comes to the rescue of Barbie and Skipper. This is the first time, believe it or not, that Stacey plays a lead role in Barbie content and includes 5 new original songs, new friends, and yes, more puppies than ever. The fact that I had no clue that Barbie even had a sister, never mind one called Stacey, is enough of a revelation for me. However, I'm sure Mattel and Netflix are hoping that the movie's halo will extend onto this release. So that is Barbie and Stacey to the Rescue, which is now available for smallies everywhere on Netflix. And that is your streaming for the week. I told you it was nice and compact and tight. And do you know what? There's some good stuff there. There's not too much, not too little. Just right. Cinema-wise, we are in a bit of a mid-month slump. But sure, let's take a look at what's out there.
What? Don't touch it. I saw this movie once where they come across this box. And they open the box.
The case.
And it was like really, really bad.
I just want to know what's going on.
I bet it's locked.
We just want to locate your friends.
Who are you, jackass?
That's when women curse like that.
Those girls just drove off with something we need.
Drive Away Dolls is the new movie from the Eaton half of the Coen brothers from a screenplay he wrote with his wife Trisha Cook. It stars Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan, who play two women in search of a fresh start and so embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee, Florida. However, things quickly go awry when they pick up the wrong car and then cross paths with a group of inept criminals along the way. This lesbian road trip crime caper at times has the kind of vibes of Raising Arizona, but that's sadly as far as my positivity goes. Ultimately, I just found it a bit of a muddled mess. Oh, so much muddle. Ethan being a Coen, of course he gets a huge amount of impressive cameos appearing from the various dark alleys of the criminal underworld, but I just didn't buy into it. Throw in some unnecessary psychedelic moments and... you know what? You definitely start wishing that the 87-minute runtime is even shorter. Yeah. Whoa. The two leads are quite charming, but ultimately it just felt a bit flat and a bit of a meh streaming movie. But you know what? If you're stuck for something to see, it's now in cinemas. But then, why would you? You can wait for streaming and then maybe or maybe not catch up with it. Listen, there's so much good stuff out there, like everywhere right now. Who am I or this movie to distract you from it? So, yeah, not exactly the most glowing recommendation you'll ever get. But that's just me. Yeah, wasn't its biggest fan. So that is Drive Away Dolls. Drive away. Keep driving. Don't look back. Which is now in cinemas. And yeah, that's really the only big release we're talking about this week. I'm going to take a little break now and take some... Honey for my voice, because I've been talking too long. And then we'll come back with some quality things and other things. In fact, there's only one thing we'll be talking about when we come back.
It doesn't seem to matter what I do. Number two, no one knows how hard I try. Oh, I have feelings I can't explain, driving me insane. All my life been so polite, I'll sleep alone tonight. I'm just kidding, anywhere else I'd be a take. Is it my destiny to live and die a life?
Yes, the one thing and only thing we're talking about this week is, of course, the Oscars, which took place on Sunday night, and well, they were all the feckin' crack. Before I jump into my hot takes on the night, can I give a big shout out to long-time listener of the podcast, Sarah, who looked after our little Oscar crew on Sunday night, and yeah, we had an absolute bleeding blast and very much appreciated the glamour of it all. So thanks, Sarah, who right now you're most likely unglamorously running around in the rain, as I know you listen to your pod while jogging. So you're a legend. Keep running, hit that wall, but keep going. So my hot takes for the Academy Awards, let's do this. The unbelievably early start here of 11 p.m. what can I say? I love it. It may not suit America, but hell yes. Give me more of this. Shoot it into my veins. Home by 3 a.m. What a feckin' dream scenario. The show itself was possibly the best Oscars I've watched in quite some time. After a pretty meh opening monologue, I was like, oh, sketch. It suddenly turned into a slick, fast-moving, funny show, filled with some decent intrigue and surprises. So there, yeah, very good. Moment of the night for me, hands down, went to I'm Just Ken, which was just an astonishing thing to watch at an award show. I mean, people, it was late, we may have been drunk, but people were perking up both in Hollywood and where we were watching it. And such a big, proper, old school Hollywood number, centerpiece vibe. And with everyone singing along, it was definitely a keeper. So love that. Other highlights worth mentioning were John Cena's naked gag. Yes, that was a bit of a chuckle fest. Kate McKinnon and America Ferrera's Jurassic World is a documentary conversation. That was very, very funny. And I liked Arnie and Danny DeVito's facing off and banting against Batman Keaton again. Loved it. Loved it. In the future Oscar host section, as I said in an earlier pod predictions for 2024, and I will repeat it here again, John Mulaney will be announced as the host of the Oscars sooner rather than later. His piece on Field of Dreams while presenting the Oscar for Sound. Genius. Genius. He's a funny guy. Give him the gig already. Give him the gig. Kimmel was decent enough. He was a fine host. He made the wise decision of stepping back and letting the in-show jokes take over. And maybe that's his presenter superpower. So, yeah, good job, Jimmy. I liked the 5 previous Oscar winners presenting in each category for acting. Could have been terrible, which it was in the previous time. But actually, this time was very enjoyable. So, although I found it weird that Killian seemed to be the only one, as far as I could tell, who went up to each of the 5 on stage and shook their hands before he started the speech. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's, you know, just Killian. He's a lovely lad. Speech of the night for me was American Fiction's Cord Jefferson. What a dude. That dude is a dude. I loved this win. I loved his maths lesson to Hollywood studios. Instead of one risky $200 million budget movie, make 10 $20 million movies. So I thought he was good. Biggest shock was looking like a Japanese winner, as both Boyne the Heron and Godzilla Minus One took out their big budget rivals. However, the best was saved for near the end of the night when Emma Stone, I mean, we gasped when she beat Lily Gladstone. I'm aware they were both kind of faves for the Oscar, but you can still feel the shock in the room, both where we were and in Hollywood itself. So fair play to Emma. Good job. I wonder if Mary has watched Poor Things yet. I'm waiting for the review. Should be a... Yeah, Mammy's going to be in for a shock when she watches that one. As for Oppenheimer's big moments, no, not Super Killian winning, but winning Best Picture, folks need to lay off Al Pacino. Stay away from poor Al, despite it being quite confusing, in fairness, when instead of reading out the nominees, he said, "My eyes see Oppenheimer," and we're like, what's happening right now? It ends up, no, old Al hasn't lost the plot, but it's what the producers told him to do. They figured they'd be running behind schedule, and as they had shown the clips of the 10 movies already, he didn't need to read them out, so just go and announce the winner. If only they knew they were going to be about 10 minutes ahead of schedule. Oh, so yes, everyone can calm down. Al has not lost his marbles, just the producers. Fucking idiots. Finally, and I'm sure you haven't slept wondering about our own Oscar predictions. Well, I got a slightly meh and below average 16 out of 23, correct? And Stephen got 17 out of 23. I feckin' blame that sound category, for feck's sake. But what I lost in predictions, I gained in the night being more on edge as category winners shifted between various frontrunners. Yeah, listen, it's the danger you play. It's the danger of the game. When you've got the choice of two, you just got to flip that coin. And feck's sake, my coin was banjaxed. Anyway, what can you do? Also, I'd like to give a special shout out to another long-time listener of the pod, Laura, who got 18 out of 23. So, good job, lady. Good job. Although you are now officially screwed for next year because you're going to have to come on the pod with me and Stephen and put your money where your mouth is. And that was that. Fun times, which for our nearly four-hour award show was pretty impressive. Rosé and Prosecco always helps, as we know. And as we depart this Oscar topic, may I just leave you with a small note to ICV. Can we please take a look at who the hell you get on your show as panellists for next year? Jonathan, Ross, you weren't great, mate. You weren't great. In total, it was a bit of a shit show. I hear Boyd Hilton may be free for next year, just saying. Anyway, that's us. Pod done. Arsenal won. So much fun. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcasts. Wishing you all the best and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there. It's been a while, my post-credit traveling friend. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da-da. A place where, as you know, anything goes, truths will be told, and crazy shit goes down, and, well, it's a keeper today. Is it? Is it already? Well, I think it is, because here's a little something you may or you may not know about me. Having been a lead singer in a well dodgy band in the late 80s, The Extreme. Then we became The Other Extreme because feckin' Morden Words came out. And then finally we became Toe. Yes, that is what we were called. Feckin' Toe. That is why you break up with a band, because the members agree that Toe is a good name, for feck's sake. Anyway, that's not the tale. The tale is, due to this probably early, you know, showing on my musical side, I discovered I had a musical gift that every 10 or so years appears out of nowhere, and that is coming up with a sports ball chant worthy of the ages and the times, and handing it to whatever lucky team I feel worthy of it. Back in the day when I was on the terraces of Ravenhill, Ulster's rugby ground, with Davey Bilbo Adamson. It was the first time I felt this gift flowing through my veins. Flowing! I had promised Davey heading to the match that I had a treat. Have I got a treat for you later, big boy? And I was very excited to see what he thought of it. So the game starts. Sparky the mascot is there and he's causing chaos. It's a bit of a dull affair. So yes, in my best non-dub, but not too Nordy sounding accents, I broke out on the terraces with, "What's that coming over Ravenhill? It's the Ulster! It's the Ulster! What's that coming over Ravenhill? It's the Ulster! It's the Ulster!" Yes, this is how sporting chants work. Repetition, enthusiasm, and a viral spread across the crowd. Yes, the crowd who slowly backed away, slowly moved away, as if I had caught a plague, including Davey Judas Adamson himself. I was devastated. As I got to the seventh time, my enthusiasm was wavering and I was second guessing myself. And this absolute goal I was handing to them, I was being shunned. And I know, you're probably thinking, man, you should have given it to Munster. But I wasn't feeling for Munster back then. I still probably don't feel for Munster. I didn't think much of them. They were just annoying. And anyways, I wanted to look after my friends and show them how much I cared. But anyway, Ulster's loss. But it's always there if they ever need it. So what? Why am I talking about this? Well, Ken. I'm just Ken got me thinking this week. You see, Arsenal have a player, Benjamin White. He's a tanned man, very tanned. He loves his tan beds. I think he's got two in his house. He's got blonde hair. He's got tattoos all over. And he freely admits that when he's not playing football, he doesn't watch it because he doesn't like it. He's just good at it. It's a job. He's like droll. He's class. And he basically has a chant that goes, Benny White, White, White. Benny White, White, White. Absolute crap. Like, that's terrible. And I love him so much. I'm not going to lie. I was inspired after the Oscars. This, you know where this is going. So I headed over this week to the Champions League with another gem of a chant. Yes, firmly placed in my pocket. Oh, because I'm just Ben. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of bronze fragility? He's just Ben and he plays for Arsenal. Yes, 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 I know what you're thinking. Not a very macho terrorist chant, but that's the point. Ben hates footy, so this is his outside-the-box anthem. And before you ask, yes, 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 after a few ciders and a bit of Magner's Dutch courage, I unleashed it upon the gooners around me. And all I'm going to say is, it may take a little while longer to get it to go viral. Porto wasn't built in a day, seemingly. In fairness, I was, you know, on the second verse, or the second round of it. Oh, dear. I did successfully catch the attention of a dad and his two sons in the row in front of us, who kind of were quizzically somewhat intrigued. But then I copped on. Sadly, they were undercover Porto fans in the Arsenal section and were probably engaging with me because I was singing that Barbie song and it was more familiar to them than the rest of the Arsenal chants and songs going on. So, yeah. Ah, well, as my dad always told me, God loves a tryer. And try I did, yeah. But I won't give up. Ben's not going away, you know. I have a few more matches to make it to, so let's see what happens. There you go. Sad times, happy times, glorious times. Anyway, for the weekend that's in it, may your Guinness and milkshakes be green. May Ireland win that feckin' Six Nations once and for all. And may you enjoy this oldie but appropriate classic. Maybe I can come up with some sports chant around this one too. I'll have to have a think.
Have you ever seen the seagulls flying over heather, or the crimson sails on Galway Bay, the fishermen unfurled? Oh, the earth is filled with beauty, and it's gathered all together in the form and face and dainty grace of a pretty Irish girl. Oh, she is my dear, my darling one, her eyes so sparkling, full of fun. No other can match the likes of her. She is my dear, my darling one, my smiling and beguiling one. I love the ground she walks upon, my darling Irish girl.